keep your Bible open there at Psalm 145. I think every Christian needs to think about how good God's been to you. That's always healthy. The title, if you look in your Bible, look there at, right below, in most Bibles, there's a title to many of the Psalms, if they have one. And it says right there underneath Psalm 145, it says, David's Psalm of Praise. Now, I don't know whether that text is inspired or not. I know the text of the verses is inspired of God, but I don't know if the title is. It does not matter to me. I do think it's interesting, though, because when you look at Psalm 144, the title of that psalm is A Psalm of David. And when you look at Psalm 143, the title of that psalm is A Psalm of David. And when you get Psalm 142, it's a little different. It says a maschil of David, which means it's a prayer that is used for a specific purpose. It's a song that is actually prayed. That's what maschil means. No problem. Look at Psalm 141. The title of that one is A Psalm of David. If you look over at Psalm 140, you've got to the chief musician, A Psalm of David. You say, why would you point that out to us? In all of the psalms that David was used of God to pen, the title is given A Psalm of David. But there's one psalm, Psalm 145, that has the title David's Psalm of Praise. And it's like saying, I don't know, we'll find out when we get to heaven, I just thought it was interesting. This, all 54 psalms in 154 of them are Psalms of David. Okay, and we know God used several other people to pen the Psalms, but in 54 of them it says a Psalm of David. Here, this is David's Psalm of Praise, and this is, I think, it appears that he's saying in Psalm 145, out of all the Psalms of Praise, David is, I don't know, getting the opportunity to say, this is my favorite praise of God, this is my favorite song, and this is my favorite way of glorifying God. And he says, David's Psalm of Praise. It'd be kind of like when somebody asks you, and I don't like this question, but I know it's important, when somebody says, what's your favorite hymn in the hymn book? Isn't that a hard question to answer? I like a lot of them. I like a lot of them. But if somebody said, what is your favorite psalm, do you have a favorite psalm in the psalm book? In the Bible, my favorite is some of the teenagers at the teen convention, when they were asking me to sign their Bibles, I always put 2 Corinthians 12:9. That is a verse that I've claimed for my life when God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And then I always write Psalm 27 underneath it. And I remember reading that when I got saved. The Lord is my light and the strength of my life, and I just love that psalm. Well, do you have a favorite psalm? Do you have a psalm that you say, you know, out of all the psalms, I like this particular one? I hope you do, and if you're not familiar with them enough yet to do that, I'd like to encourage you. Here in Psalm 145, this psalm, David's favorite psalm, is filled with words that magnify God. Can we look at it together? Ready? I'm going to point some words to you. In verse 1, he says, I will extol thee. I know we don't use that word, but that word means to lift up and to honor. So he says, I will lift up and honor thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Look in verse 2. He says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name. Now he's going to start giving attributes of God. Watch this. Verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Look at the end of verse 4. Mighty acts. In verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Look in verse number 6. Men shall speak of thy might and of thy terrible acts. That's not talking about terrible as in spooky or bad. It's talking about terrible as in mighty. And God is using David here to describe the greatness of God. Verse 7 is our text verse tonight. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy, here we go, great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is, finally verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all His works. David is doing in this psalm what he asks all men to do in verse 7. Verse 7 says, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness." David believes that all men should utter abundantly God's goodness. He is abundant in his praise here. The word abundantly utter, it means this: overflowing, and it never stops overflowing. It means plenty. It brings with it the connotation, I don't know if you've ever gotten to, my daughter got to go to Niagara Falls this year when they were on tour, and she said it was one of the prettiest places. I said, I've been to Niagara Falls, I think, 4 times in my life, and it is, if you've never been there, it's a good, safe place to go. And you can drive there, and there's no threat of terrorist attacks on the airplane. But Niagara Falls is wonderful to see it. The water just keeps on pouring. And it never stops. And it's just gorgeous. It really is a beautiful sight. And God says here, they shall abundantly utter, or being overflow, with the memory of thy great goodness. David's encouraging us to praise the Lord for God's great goodness. Spurgeon said, "It is not meet or fitting that the goodness of God should be buried in the cemetery of silence." If God's been good to you, you ought to be able to talk about it. You ought to be able to mention it and praise God and thank the Lord and abundantly utter what God's done in your life. You ought to be able to. And there should be more people uttering the memory of God's great goodness. I couldn't help but, in looking at this, I thought of Psalm 107. 4 times God says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." I think we have so much to utter, but instead we mutter. And then we end up wallowing in butter. No, I'm just... but anyways, we utter. We should be uttering, but instead we're muttering. All right? And there'll be other plays on words tonight, so stand by. All right? But the problem is, instead of abundantly uttering the memory of God's great goodness, we're muttering. And I know there's a lot of messed up things in our world, in our country, and that's why I think you need to wisely ration how much of the news you listen to, or it will depress you. Somebody says, "Well, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on in the world." I'm going to help you with that in just a little bit. I can give you a statement that'll never change. But I probably this year have been more disappointed in the media. I've never seen its evil slant, and I know it's been wrong. There's one thing you learn about the news: you only know what they want you to know. You don't know the whole story. You don't know it. And I think the older you get, the more you see that. I don't think anybody needs to live in a closet or put your head in the sand and ignore everything, but you can't listen to everything the news says because it's so negative. It's so bad. The problem is when we mutter more than we utter. Tonight, you need to trade your mutter for an utter and ask for an utter butter peanut butter sandwich cookie. All right? trade your mutter for an utter. All right? And are you spelling that with a D or with a T? Tonight is utter or mutter. Utter or mutter. Verse 7, it says, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness." You know, the thought just hit me. Did they still sell Utter Butter, Nutter Butter, Peanut Butter sandwich cookies? Do they still sell them? Okay. That was a 70s thing, and I didn't know if I was dating myself again. So it's like talking about phone booths and tape decks. You know, kids go, "What's that?" Phone booth? You did what? You put what in a phone? All right, here we go. In this verse here, I think it's easy to see, first of all, a heart that's filled with the goodness of God. Psalm 145, I've already went through the passage with you, but as he magnifies God and lifts God up, there's a heart that is filled with the goodness of God. It's all through the psalm. I only read the first 9 verses. But when I think of Psalm, look at Psalm, while you're there, got your Bible open, go to Psalm 146. Look at verse 1 and 2. These are the praise psalms, and I know that, but look at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Watch this. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. God, let my life praise you. Let me praise you with my life. Let me use my life to praise him. And I like this as far as, and of course I've got all my psalms marked here. The word utter, when you look at verse 145, verse 7, the word utter means to speak, pronounce, or express. Maybe it's better to look at utter tonight this way. Utter is the opposite of conceal, hiding, or suppressing. The word utter means to do the opposite of that. With the mouth, God's great goodness is to be praised. And if the mouth is uttering God's goodness, then the heart is filled with God's goodness. You say, preacher, I don't see the word heart anywhere in Psalm 145. I know, but didn't Jesus say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh? So if he's abundantly uttering the memory of God's great goodness, it's coming from the heart. That overflow starts in the heart. It's just the truth that we talk about the most. What we talk about the most is what our heart is filled with. If I asked you tonight, what's the topic you talk about the most? And normally you're not the one to answer that. You normally ask the people you spend time with. What is it that you talk about the most? Because what you talk about the most is what your heart is filled with. And I think part of what this is teaching is that our hearts need to be filled with the goodness of God so that we can abundantly utter. You see, don't justify negative talk on the basis of being a realist. Did you hear what I said? You say, well, that's just the way I am. I'm a realist. I'm a realist too. But I also realize I can't live. I have to monitor me or I'm a negative ding-dong. You say, well, I'm just a realist. I call it as it is too. But I don't use my realistic personality to justify being negative and not praising God. Because I do have a lot to praise God for. Be careful. You see, I know this. I know I need to work at praising the Lord. It's like this. If a man loves his job, it's easy to get them to talk about it. It's easy to get Brother Dorsey to talk about drywall because he liked drywall. He liked his job. He loved it. Most men in a trade, you don't stay in a trade unless you love what you do. Ask Brother Wilkins about carpentry. Ask Brother Bernie about sewer lines. No, I'm just... That was his specialty. He was an engineer, though, as far as... And there was more to it than that. But sorry, Brother Bernie, I had to do that. But ask a man about his trade. And he normally likes what he does. And he'll talk about it. And it's not hard to get him to talk about it, because why? His heart's filled with it. His heart's filled with it. Have you noticed if you ever want to talk to somebody who is not very talkative, what's the first thing you ask them when you're trying to get them to talk and they just don't want to talk? You always ask what? How's your kids? Because most people want to talk about their kids. And that's a way you can get them to open up. Because what? You get them to open up about their kids. That's natural. You ask grandparents because grandparents love to talk about their grandkids. That's normal and that's right. Then listen, then what does that say about us when we rarely praise God for His goodness? What does that say about us when our words are void of praise? What does it say about us then when we're muttering instead of uttering? What does it say about our heart? Doesn't it say our hearts are not filled with God's goodness if you don't talk about it? The answer to the question is yes. Most say, oh, Pastor, I praise the Lord and thank the Lord all the time. I know, but what your heart is filled with is shown by what you talk about. What your heart is filled with is shown by what you talk about. See, we don't use the words abundantly utter to describe anything that is partial or casual or half-hearted. When you think of someone who is abundantly utters the memory of God's great goodness, I think you could think of, there was a man named Billy Bray. He was from Cornwall, England. He was a miner. He was a drunk. And Billy Bray ended up being a wonderful picture of a man who abundantly uttered the goodness of God. Billy Bray was working in his mine in England, and there was a horrible tragedy, and it caved in, and there were many miners that were killed. His life was spared. God used that event in Billy Bray's life to eventually get him saved. And when he got saved, Billy Bray became known as the man, as God's man, with a shout. With a shout. Billy Bray said, "I cannot express what I felt when I got saved. I shouted for joy. Everything looked different to me. I was a man in a new world," and it just didn't last 2 weeks or anything with Billy Bray. It lasted his whole life. People asked Billy Bray about his abundant joy and how come he was so happy. And when asked how he could praise the Lord so much, he said, "He has made me glad and no one can make me sad. He makes me shout and no one can make me doubt. He it is that makes me dance and leap, and there is no one that can keep down my feet." Sounds like he's been around Brother Garland, doesn't it? Everything's got a rhyme. Sounds like he had some soul. Billy Bray, he was a man who abundantly uttered the memory of God's goodness. He said, when they said, "Billy Bray, how come you're so happy and so filled with joy?" He said, "I can't help but praising God. I lift one foot and it says glory." He says, "I lift up the other foot and it seems to say amen." And they just keep doing that all the time I'm walking. That was Billy Bray. Billy Bray. Is it any wonder that on May 25th, 1868, when Billy Bray breathed his last breath and departed this world for heaven, the last audible words that they heard him say was, "Glory." And then he shut his eyes and went to heaven. That his life was filled with abundantly uttering the memory of God's goodness. If I was going to ask you this, did you know that the bottom line of the story is, what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. You understand? You say, "Oh, I praise God all the time." We basically know what is in our hearts, and that's why we work on our heart's condition, because of what we talk about. That's plain to see. That's easy to see, and I think that's a scriptural principle. When you find that good things are not coming out of your mouth, then it's time to do a heart check. You talk about what your heart is filled with. So the first thing I wanted to bring across to you is, I think 145 verse 7, first of all, talks about a heart that is filled with God's goodness. Next, if we look at the next phrase, look at Psalm 145 verse 7, "They shall abundantly utter," and then the word, "the memory of thy great goodness." And I just want to draw your attention to a mind fixed on the goodness of God. You see, listen closely, what the heart feels is a result of what the mind thinks. We are the result of what our minds think about. If I were to ask you, what is it that you dwell on? What is your mind thinking about? What do you allow your mind to be consumed with? There's enough problems in the world and in our country and in our lives to totally occupy our mind with nothing but problems if you allow it. And it is allowed. "Well, I have to think about this." No, you don't. You're supposed to. Our hearts are not filled with God's goodness because we don't control what we think about. Or we let anything grab our attention and we don't practice scriptural mind control. We say we're not ADD, but we don't control what we think about. "Well, you know, I ought to be thinking about that. Look at that over there." And there's no scriptural mind control.
Because your heart is filled with what you allow your mind to think about. That's a Bible principle. So if you could control what your mind dwells on, you could control what your heart is filled with. What your heart is filled with. I think you ought to be associated with Philippians chapter 4. Listen closely, and I have a few. I just want you to, you can stay there in Psalm 145, but Philippians 4 says this: be careful for nothing. Don't ever be full of care. Careful. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. A wonderful thing to do. If you find yourself worrying about anything, well, I'm just concerned about, then quit worrying about it and start praying about it. Let that be a reminder. I'm not going to worry about that. Lord, I'm going to give that to you. I'm concerned. Lord, go ahead and admit it. I'm scared. This one, Lord, would you please help? And instead of worrying about it, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? What's going to happen? Instead of worrying about it, just say, I refuse to worry about it. I'm going to pray about it, and Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Be careful. Don't be full of care for anything. Nothing should be... That's the way you have to learn to deal with fears and cares. Watch this. Look at verse... listen to verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I've learned something in the Christian life. You don't have the peace of God unless you control your mind. If you let everything grab your attention, then your heart and your mind does not know the peace of God. Because it's, well, what about this? And oh my goodness, what a horrible... Look, Thomas Edison said, the inventor of the telephone, this is what he said, if you increase the distance of what people talk about, they will just talk more about nothing. The inventor of the telephone said that. And I made mention to the teenagers, when I open up the internet on my computer, the first thing that comes up is MSN. It's got all these little, stories. And I have never seen more worthless information in my life. It's so worthless. What's happening with this actor, and how come this razor is the best seller, and what does I Dream of Jeannie look like now? Are you kidding me? To me, I look at and I just scroll through it, and I just think, what a bunch of worthless information. You have to control what you think about, so that your heart, because your heart is filled with what you think about. Have you thought about these verses? Listen to this. You have to control your mind. Psalm 57:7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. And Psalm 112, verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I know it's talking about your heart being fixed, but the whole idea is determination. I am determined. I'm going to praise God on purpose. If the news controls your mind, you will consider useless information constantly. You will be depressed, and you're going to mutter instead of utter. You're going to murmur instead of praise God. You have to set limits on how much you think about the news and the media. You should be controlling your mind. The media should not be controlling it. Your mind should not be fixed on the world's problems. Let me give you a... would you take your Bible and go to 1 John? I'll show you Someone said, well, I have to know what's going on in the world. Well, let me give you this timeless update on the condition of the world. 1 John chapter 5, look at the last three verses in 1 John. Just think of it that way. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. That's not changing until Jesus comes again. Tomorrow it's going to be in a different state of wickedness, but it's still going to lie in wickedness. You say, well, no. The whole world isn't bad. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Look in the next verse. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And I can't think of any more idolatry that controls people now than the news media. They want your head. They want your mind. That's how they make their money. You see, your walk with God has got to have a priority. You have to have a time when you put God's thoughts in your mind. Because if your heart is going to be filled with God's goodness, your mind has to be fixed on the things of God. You have to have a secret place or you're going to mutter instead of utter. And when you get too negative, sometimes you just need to go ahead and get alone with God and say, God, I'm out of line here. I've been too negative. Lord, I haven't praised you in so long. And go somewhere where nobody sees you. Go for a walk. There's a reason Jesus said, when thou enterest into thy closet. He was saying you ought to have a private place where nobody sees you. And then you can lift your hands and praise the Lord, and you can tell God and have a wonderful time and have your own personal little revival. But how long has it been since you praised God, since you've praised the Lord? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. The terrorist attacks are going to continue, and they're going to increase. Well, every time I hear about it, my heart drops too. I can only handle so much of it. To me, when I hear of another terrorist attack, preacher, what do you think? I think it's one more reason to buy a gun and one more reason to lock up Muslims in the country. I have no control over that, but I can get another gun. Amen, sweetie. Right? Okay. You say, what do you do about it? We're going to hear more of it. I think it's sad. I think it's horrible. It's not in my control. So I want to make sure it doesn't totally consume me. If you talk so abundantly about problems, listen, then you don't have a refuge. Set a reminder on your phone to remind you to think about the goodness of God. In this day and age, I'm amazed at how many people don't use the technology that we have available. You can listen to the Bible on your phone. You can set reminders. You could set a reminder to go off at the top of every hour. And whenever you hear it, you can set a buzzer on that certain timer. And when you hear it, it could just be a reminder. You turn it off, and that's a reminder to praise God. If you wanted to. I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of ways we could use technology. So then once you praise God, then go ahead and utter it and speak it and tell God. Tell people how good God's been. You see, if you can control what you think about and what you dwell on, you can control how you feel. And if you want your heart filled, then you have to get your mind fixed on the goodness of God. That's how come we sang the song tonight. I have been blessed, God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. He's been so good to me. So I'll just thank Him. That's a good song. God has been good to me. And I think, I'd hate to think you only sing that song or hum it or think about God's goodness when we come to church. Amen? Hopefully you can walk in. How do you walk in when it's so hot outdoors to the air conditioning? I'd go, whoo, glory to God. How do you look at the pictures of the refugees and the picture of third world countries and not praise God for your house? We got a lot to praise God for. And you say, but this problem's happening. I know, and it's going to get worse. But I have a lot to praise God for. I have been blessed, and you've been blessed. Uttering or muttering? Christian, what have you been doing? Are you uttering, abundantly uttering the memory of God's goodness? Or are you complaining? Let's just look at two more passages tonight. Would you look at Psalm 22, verse 3? Psalm 22. I'll stay in the Psalms tonight. Psalm 22 and verse 3. Ready? I just want you to see a couple of benefits of praising God. Psalm 22, verse 3. Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and verse 3. But thou art holy. Watch this. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God inhabits or dwells in the praise of His people. You say that was Israel back then. Israel's still God's people. And guess what? When you praise God, it gets God's attention. See, thanking God is when you thank God for what He does. And if you thank Him enough, then you start praising Him. And that's thankfulness with emotion. And at first you say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for my church. Thank you, Lord, for my home. Thank you, Lord, for my car. Thank you, Lord, for my job. The more I think about what I've got to be thankful for, then I start praising God. And God says, when you praise me, it gets my attention. And God says, I like to dwell where I'm being praised. Can I take the opposite with you tonight? When you look up the word murmur in your Bible, do you realize God got so angry at the children of Israel, His people, murmuring and complaining, He decided to kill them. And Moses had to step in and say, God, don't do it. He said, I'm going to kill them all and make a new nation from you. And Moses said, Lord, if you do that, word's going to get around. And I think God knew what Moses was going to do. But can I just draw attention to you? God knew murmuring and complaining angers God. And when you praise the Lord, it gets God's attention. And God says, I like to be where I'm praised. And that's not an exaltation of non-denominational praise and worship teams. I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you in your heart, God says, somebody's praising me. So that's because so few do it. Somebody's praising me. I'm going to dwell where I'm being praised. I think it's a beautiful verse to think about. Let's look at one more. Ready? Go to the second to the last psalm in your Bible, Psalm 149. Psalm 149. And I just wanted to look at the benefits of abundantly praising. Uttering or muttering? Psalm 149, look at verse number 5. Watch this. Psalm 149, verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Why? Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a Bible, a two-edged sword in their hand. Look at this, verse 7. How come? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. What a verse. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. You know what God says happens when you praise the Lord? He starts taking vengeance on your enemies. God said, that's why one of the best things you can do is praise God. Let your mind be fixed on the things of God so your heart can be filled with the goodness of God. And when you praise God, He starts taking care of all the injustices. I'm not the Lord. I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says. And when you and I have an honor, this honor, have all the saints of the Lord. If you're willing to praise God, and if you'll praise the Lord, God starts taking vengeance on your enemies. I don't even have to pray. God, would you fix that? All I need to do is, Lord, what a wonderful God you are. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. I'm so thankful that you saved a sinner like me. I'm so glad, Lord, you reached way down. And Lord, your grace is wonderful. Your presence, Lord, you've always helped me. And when you praise God, God says, I take care of my children who praise me. I love Psalm 149. And when you think about it, you say, Pastor, this is my reverse way of preaching on gossip tonight. This is my reverse way, a truth that battles negative talk and negative and criticism. Uttering or muttering. You're either uttering the praises of God
or you're complaining. And when you find yourself, I find myself doing that sometimes. It's a way I call myself into check and I say, my goodness, am I being negative? And that tells me this isn't right. Because what's coming out of here starts here. It starts here. In the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Christian, let's end this with tonight. How long has it been since you praised God? If not, utter or mutter. And the sad thing is we mutter when we should be uttering. We ought to be uttering God's goodness and God's praise. We have a lot to praise God for. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, when we forget, you don't. And when we, Lord, thank you for your patience. When we fail you, you've never failed us. Thank you, Lord.